I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. See, if you want to be a very thankful person, we've been teaching on developing the art of gratefulness for the month of November. And you can listen to all of our messages online for free. Go to vcfpa.org and that's available for you. Praise God. And I'm using less paper, because normally I take a lot of notes, so hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 3, start with verse 16, the Bible says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, does he really mean that in whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord with thanks, giving thanks? Who should our thanks be directed to ultimately? It should be directed to God. He's the source of all good things. And, you know, let me just give you a summary of what thankfulness is, and then we're going to go into where we want to go today. But thankfulness or gratefulness, it's a right apprehension of the benefits conferred. How many are excited when you get a benefit? When something benefits you, doesn't that excite you? Well, then we should be grateful for every benefit. And if you're unsure, you know, God gave us a book of benefits. Matter of fact, there's a psalm, I forget which one it is, but it says, he daily loads us with benefits. All right? So we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Gratefulness is a faithful retention of the benefits in your memory and the frequent reflections upon them. It gives due esteem and assessment to the benefits you have received. You know, you got to keep your benefits in, you got to remember your benefits. Something that may help is have a Thanksgiving journal. You know, when something good happens to you, when you realize that this was done for you, mark it down and mark along with it ways that you can show your thankfulness. See, gratefulness is really the expression. It's the outward expression of you giving thanks. That's what gratefulness is. And God wants us to have a grateful heart, not a great empty heart, a grateful heart. Our heart ought to be full and overflowing with thanksgiving. And you know what? We ought to be thankful for the things that didn't happen to us as much as the good things that did, right? You know, there's a lot of things that didn't happen to us, which really, if we'd only knew, we'd have seen how we got delivered from that situation. And that's something to be thankful for. Gratefulness, it receives those benefits with a willing mind and vehement affection. You know, don't be afraid to be expressive about your gratefulness. Don't be afraid to lavish your thanksgiving. When someone does the slightest good to you, go overboard in your expression of it. Amen? You know, sometimes what they do when people are acting in a play, they want you to you know, use big words and big movements so that everybody can see. But be expressive in your gratefulness. This is just some of the things that we've touched on previously. Gratefulness is, it's praise that gives thanks to God for what he's done and who he is. You know, if all you knew is Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's more than enough to be thankful for an eternity. Amen? It's thanksgiving. It springs from a grateful heart. In other words, having a grateful heart is the source of thanksgiving. You know, ungratefulness is very easy to detect. It's like someone just sucked on a lemon, right? You know how they do when people suck on a lemon? You know, they kind of give you that face. Well, that's like the same face that comes from an ungrateful heart. All believers are required to be thankful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you." Did you know that it's God's will for us to give thanks? We should never give place to an ungrateful heart, right? And, you know, it's just as easy to be grateful as it is to be ungrateful. Actually, it's probably harder to be ungrateful because you're probably using more muscles in your body, right? Well, let's go on today. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 4. You know, thanksgiving is not just for the here and now while we're on earth. Did you know that there's going to be thanksgiving going on in heaven? That in heaven right now, there are people that are continually, eternally giving thanks to God for who He is and what He's done. So right now, the thanksgiving part is just getting started, all right? But it's going to be carried on when you get to heaven. And Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says this in verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever." He's talking about the beasts. They describe them. He describes them in verse 7. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast like had a face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Notice, they didn't rest. They were continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And also, along with those beasts giving praise, they were also giving thanks. So in heaven, if God were to open up the heavens and we were to see a picture around God's throne, you're going to see people and creatures giving Him thanks. Because I'll tell you what, God is so good. There's none can compare to His goodness. He's good all the time. He's good every day. He's going to be good tomorrow. He was good last week. Never associate anything bad with God, because that's not true. Because even the Bible says God is good. Say that with me. Say, God is good. So here we have this picture in heaven. Now notice verse 10. "And the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that live forever and ever and cast their crowns before Him." You know, why would someone cast their crowns before Him? Any ideas? Because He's worthy. And that is their sign of showing appreciation to what He's done for them. See, there are different crowns that we can earn. I'm not here to talk about, but the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, there's different crowns that you can earn. Now, earn is a bad word, all right, because you can't really, but when you follow God and you live in such a way that pleases Him, God rewards you with crowns. They're more of a reward than they are an earning, so I want to correct that. But here they were so grateful. These elders, these 24 elders, they were before the throne and they're casting their crowns before God. Let me tell you something. Don't go to heaven empty-handed. Be sure that you can receive some crowns while you're here. Don't go to heaven empty-handed. Go there with something to give the one whom we can express the greatest thanks to. Now notice, this is happening Every day, every hour, every minute, they're giving thanks before God's throne. And what do they say? Verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure that they are created." Look at your neighbor and say, "You were created for God's pleasure." And God has a plan for your life. He wants to do something in your life. He created you on purpose with a purpose. And every one of us here have a divine assignment from God. But we have to discover what that assignment is. But I just thought that was awesome. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 7. I'm just going to give you a few things of the thanksgiving that's taking place in heaven. You know, some people think, well, I'll live this earth and then I'll be free. Then I won't have to do, you know what? There's learning taking place in heaven. There's people gaining knowledge still in heaven. Amen? The learning doesn't stop because you're down here. But when you get to heaven, you're going to have a glorified body. You could sit for thousands of hours and it'll feel like a minute. Won't that be awesome? So in Revelation chapter 7, and let's go to verse 9. Revelation 7, 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." And I want you to know, I want everybody to be part of that group. Amen? Amen. One of the things that VCF exists to do is we want to make sure that everybody can be part of this group. And in verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying," what did they say? "Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Now the angels are around the throne. They're joining the beasts and the elders, and they're giving thanks to God. The angels have something to be thankful for. The beasts that are flying around the throne have something to be thankful for. The elders have something to be thankful for. And what kind of voice did they cry in? A quiet voice? Did it say they whispered their thanksgivings? You know, I'm a secret thanksgiver. You don't know that I'm giving you thanks, but I'm going to do it in a secret way. No, don't keep your thanksgiving to yourself. They cried with a loud voice. And how many angels are there in heaven? There's thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and too many to number. Now, if you imagine getting all those creatures, all those angels together, what kind of noise would that make? That would be louder than the biggest stadium that we have here for any kind of event. And this is happening in heaven. They're so excited about God that they cannot stop giving Him thanks. They cannot stop having a grateful heart. So you might as well get in practice now. Amen? You might as well become a grateful person now. You might as well develop a grateful heart right now, because it's going to take place in heaven. And it's going to be loud. And it's going to be awesome. And around the thrones, there's going to be explosions of light. There's a rainbow that looks, has like an emerald color. There's going to be a sea of glass. And everybody's around the throne. And the one thing that they're doing, they're giving thanks and worshiping God. I want to read this again. Notice they stood about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, And they fell before the throne on their faces. Let me tell you something. You can become so thankful to God that you can't even stand in his presence. Because God is so good. God is so real. God is all powerful. Have you ever met anyone that's all powerful? That's omniscient, they know everything, that's omnipresent, they can be anywhere, anytime, any place. They're not limited by continents or oceans. This is the kind of God that we serve. And this is what's taking place in heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And let's go to verse 16. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned." And the nations were angry. See, if you're not grateful here, do you think you're going to be grateful in heaven? You better be grateful here. You better start recognizing where all good things come from right now. Amen? This is where we practice for heaven. And in order to get to heaven, it's not, you know, you can't just come to church and expect to get to heaven. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to accept him as your Savior. You have to believe that he's God's Son. You have to put your faith in him, that he is the only way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. You can't get into heaven any other way but by going through Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that at the age of 12 years old, 31 years ago, you know, the more numbers you have behind your name, it seems like it's harder to figure out how far ago it was. But when I was 12, see, I'd always known about God. I knew that there was a God. I knew God existed, but I didn't know him personally. And someone invited me to church. It was my oldest sister. Thank God for the, you know what? You ought to be thankful for the people that have invited you to church. Amen? Because they brought you to the opportunity to be able to meet God. And I went to church. Now, the church that I went to prior to that, it was boring. I literally fell asleep every time. But this church was a little different than I went to. They seemed to be alive. And the pastor preached just like I'm preaching to you today. And he said, "Is there anyone who would like to make Jesus their Lord and Savior?" And you know how when you're not sure of something, you're like, "Is anybody else doing this?" You kind of do the half hand raise thing. Well, I did the half hand raise thing, and there wasn't but probably 10 or less people there that night. And I did something I've never done before. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And when I did, you know what? He came in. And all of a sudden, I felt something go whoom, like that. And my hand shook, and I ended up on the floor. And I was crying and laughing at the same time. But you know what happened that night? I met Jesus. And I am thankful forever. I remember that day like it was yesterday. And I can't wait to get to heaven, to join the angels, to join the elders, to join the beast flying around the throne. And I'm going to give God thanks. I'm going to give him my crowns. I'm going to bow before him because he saved me from the pit of destruction. He saved me from hell. And I've got a lot to be thankful for because of Jesus Christ. But we need to develop. You know, sometimes expressing ourselves isn't always easy. Isn't that right? If you're a teenager, sometimes it's hard to express yourself. I know, I was a teenager once. I'm just a teenager with a lot of experience now. But see, with God's help, God will help you express yourself. And we have to express thankfulness and gratefulness. You know, there was a king in the Bible. His name was David. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he was a very thankful person. And we can learn by these examples. 1 Chronicles 29. Now this was on the heels of an offering. And David wanted to prepare an offering for the next generation, because he was getting ready to leave this world, and his son Solomon was getting ready to be king, and he wanted to set Solomon up. Now, it was David's desire to build a temple for God. He wanted to honor God and build a place where God's presence could dwell. But God said, David, you're not going to build it, because there's just too much blood on your hands. But you know what David said? If I can't build it, I certainly can pay for it. Amen? And that's what David did. You read the offering that he took. In today's terms, David's personal offering was in the billions. Anyway, let's go on where we're at today. Verse 10. The people had just rejoiced, and David said this, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." Does that sound like someone who's ashamed to give thanks publicly? No. "And David said, 'Blessed be you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Does that sound like someone who is excited about who God is and what God has done? Here was David as king. You know, he put aside the pomp and circumstance. And he, you know what? One thing about David, he was a worshiper. You know, David was a musician. If David was alive today, he probably would have had a rock band. You know, maybe the Shepherd's Fold or something. I don't know. Or Giant Killers. I don't know. He would have had some cool name, because David was hitman, and he played, you know, he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He was a singer, he was a musician, and here he was as king. He was before the people, and he was giving thanks to God. He was expressing his grateful heart. And he was giving thanks to God. We can learn something from his example. Now go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. Let's look at another young man. Now Daniel was a politician. Man, if politicians had a grateful heart. Daniel chapter 2. And let's go to verse 19. Now, the situation was King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted people to interpret it, but King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't telling what the dream was, but he wanted people to tell him what his dream was. And Daniel recognized that God is the author of revelation, and he's the one who reveals secrets. And here's what Daniel said in verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I want you to notice, God gave David information. He gave him information that no one else had and no one else could get. He gave him inside information into the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God knows the hearts and the minds of everyone. And the Bible says that the word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the minute Daniel got the revelation, he blessed God. He recognized that God was the source of all good things. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O Lord God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me how what we desired of you, for you have now made known unto us the king's matter." So here Daniel, he had a problem. And the problem was going to affect him and all of his associates, because the king was going to kill all the people who so-called interpret dreams. But God had placed someone in Nebuchadnezzar's court that had a heart of gratefulness. Daniel had a lifestyle of giving thanks to God. When his associates were jealous of him, the only thing that they could find him guilty of is someone who prays to God. Boy, wouldn't that be a good thing? That the only thing people find you guilty of, man, you're someone who prays to God. You better believe I am. So, Daniel received, God told Daniel what the king's dream was. And so, do you think that if God gave you inside information into our nation, into our state, do you think that you could use that information for good? Right? How many think that you could use that information for good? Okay? And you could change the course of things. You could change nations. But God doesn't give revelation to the ungrateful. He gives them to the grateful. He will give you inside information to those whose hearts are right with him. So Daniel had inside information. And he went in, he told the people, he said, this is what the king dreamed. And go down to verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto you, king? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." So here Daniel was given future information. He was the only one that had it. So God gives things to those who have a grateful heart. If you're inclined to be thankful, then God's going to give you more things. But if you're inclined to not express how thankful you are, or to not have a grateful heart, then you're not going to get as many things. Amen? I don't know. I want God's secrets. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Is this helping anybody today? I'm giving you some examples of people who were thankful. Luke chapter 2, and we'll go to verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You know, I just have to say something. That if you want to know about your future, If you want to know about what's to come, God has the answers. He knows the end before the beginning. And you're not going to get your future from anyone else because God designed you, God made you. And if you want to know your future, He will tell you, but you got to seek Him. Amen? All right, let's get back to this story here. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That is the firstborn. So if you're a firstborn, you have a special designation by God. And to offer sacrifices according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, Simeon was someone who walked with God. He spent a lot of time with God. At that time, they didn't have a Bible, but he read the law, and he was able to hear God's voice. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God gave Simeon this promise. He said, you're going to remain alive until you see the Savior, until you see God's salvation, until you see the Lord's Christ. So you know what? That gave confidence to Simeon. He knew that nothing was going to happen to him until this came to pass. How many know that when God says something to you, you can know that nothing is, if you stick with that, if you stick with what God said with a tenacity, and if you grab a hold of what God said with all your heart and all your soul, you got to know that it can't go any other way. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Maybe he was praying in his devotion that morning, and maybe the Holy Ghost said, you know, Simeon, you ought to go to the temple today at such and such a time. So Simeon, he got up, he ate his breakfast, and he made sure. You know, it's important to follow God's timing. Amen? You know, there's a lot of things that we miss blessings because we miss God's timing. How many people have had something bad to them and they say, oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. Something inside me was telling me, don't do that. Amen? Yeah, we've all been there. Well, that was God trying to protect us from doing something stupid. And we go ahead and we ignore that and we do something stupid. And then what happens? We get consequences. I'd have much rather avoided the consequences. But he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, see, God knew that Mary and Joseph and Jesus were going to be there at that time. And God also knew that he wanted Simeon there at that time because God always wants to fulfill his word. He always wants to do what he says because that's the type of God we serve. He's a good God. Amen? And so, he took him up, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for your eyes have seen your salvation, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, a glory to your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising against many, again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then he said, a sword will pierce your spirit. But what was he doing? He was expressing thanks. As simple as that is, God gave him a promise that said, you're going to get to see the Lord's Christ before you die. But on the same point in turn, in order for him to see him, he had to listen to God. You know, you're probably sitting here today, and you're probably sitting here, well, you know what? It's just a coincidence that I'm here, is it? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. I believe that, you know, God sets things up. You're here today because God has something for you today. You're here today because he wants to put something in you. He wants to give you something. That's why it's important to be here. Amen? So here was Simeon. He was a grateful man. And the minute he saw Jesus, he took him up in his arms. That was it. He could go now. His job was done. And he went peacefully. Amen? He probably went to bed that night and just didn't wake up. He woke up in someplace else called heaven. And you know what? You know what the first thing that he did when he got to heaven? He was giving God thanks because he did it here. What I'm showing you is we have to establish a pattern, a habit. You know, I've used this before, but how many, you had to get up and you had to think really hard to brush your teeth this morning? Did anybody have to think really hard to brush your teeth? Or did you just go ahead and brush your teeth? How come brushing your teeth is so easy? Because you've established a habit. And you have people around you to help you get in the habit. Man, you better, whoo, right? You got people around you to help you to get into the habit of brushing your teeth. But the same thing is true with Thanksgiving. You know, praise God that we have a day set aside where we can give thanks. But you know what? It shouldn't just occur that day. And don't get so caught up in Thursday's activities that you forget to thank God. Here's a little poem. Thank you, Lord, for the sky that's blue and the sun so bright. Thank you, Lord, for providing me a loving home and family. Thank you, Lord, for the helping hands of friends and volunteers throughout the lands. Thank you, Lord, for your listening ear, the joy of knowing you are near. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us your words of wisdom, guidance, the path leading to happiness. So as Thanksgiving Day draws near and we sit at our table with those so dear, please don't forget to invite our heavenly host, for he is the one we give thanks to most. Amen? Listen, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have that day anyway. Amen? So, and right here in Luke chapter 2, there's another person. Her name was Anna. And verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. That's a very good way of saying it. Amen. And she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow. So she was married for 7 years and became a widow. Now that could have caused her to be ungrateful, couldn't it? She could have gotten mad at God. She could have said, God, how come I only got to be married for 7 years? But notice. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How did she overcome tragedy? She put God first. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks, likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Not only did she give thanks, but she was testifying. Testify. She was testifying to others. She was witnessing. She could have been at home complaining about her situation. You know, complaining is the enemy to gratefulness. And we know from the Bible that God doesn't appreciate complainers, but he appreciates those that give thanks. And there she was, serving the Lord. So she took all the time that she had, and she directed, she said, "Lord, here I am, use me." And she let the Lord use her however he needed. She made herself available. Okay? And she didn't depart from the temple, which would have been the church at that time. And she gave thanks and spoke to them. Verse 39, "And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." You know, gratefulness, there's something about giving thanks that initiates God's presence. One more story I'm going to share with you, all right? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I'm going to close with this today. When you're tempted to complain, when things aren't going your way, stop, drop, and pray. Oh, you thought I was going to say roll. No. Well, if you feel like rolling, you can roll, certainly. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and start with verse 11. "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one," notice, "to make one sound, to be heard in praising and what? Thanking the Lord." You know, when we are all thanking God together, it releases an enormous power in a place. It energizes a place. Okay? And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Isn't it interesting how God's glory came when everybody was giving thanks? When everybody was expressing praise to God with a grateful heart. Do you think that God would still come into a place today? Amen? There is such power in thanksgiving. We don't understand the power that thanksgiving releases because we would do it more often. Amen? You know what? If you're a student, you ought to be thankful for your teachers and those that care for you. We ought to be thankful for the air that we breathe, for the heart that beats. I'm so glad I don't have to think about my heart beating. Praise God that God just regulates that. Find something to be thankful for. Find something to be grateful for and focus on that. And if someone wants to have a pity party, tell them not to invite you. But I will come to any Thanksgiving party that you want to have. I'm into Thanksgiving parties, but not pity parties. Amen? Let me just leave you with a few of these words. This was a youth pastor. To live a life fulfilled, reflect on the things you have with gratitude. If you want to live a fulfilling life, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you have. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a prisoner of war in World War II, he was a pastor and a resistance fighter. He said, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. If you want to enrich in your life, then be a grateful person. And the more you're grateful, the more God will say, I like that about you. And he will heap more things on you. Amen. Let's stand up. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and praise for your Son Jesus and for your word, which is alive in me. Lord, I give you thanks and praise for you being Almighty God. There's nothing you don't know. There's nothing you can't do. And Lord, we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith right now in Jesus' name. I want you to be thankful to God. I want you to take a moment and you give thanks to God for whatever it is. Thank him for who he is and what he's done for you. Think of something that God's done for you. Think of something that he's protected you from. Think of something that he's given you. And begin to give thanks right now. Open up your mouth, just like they did in heaven. They cried with a loud voice. Don't be ashamed. I don't care if people around you hear what you're thanking God for. Don't be ashamed to be thankful. We got to develop a grateful heart. We have nothing to be ashamed about. Hallelujah. He delivered me. Oh, thank him for healing you. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for finding your purpose, which was always there. Some of you are just too quiet. You got 5 seconds to get excited about Jesus. Amen? Stir yourself up. Now, if your team scored the winning goal or the winning point in the last few seconds, would you go, oh, that was great? Would you? Then I want you to find something to be thankful for and start speaking it out. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. Stir yourself up. Stir your heart up. We got to stir up thankfulness in this place. We've got a lot to be grateful for. You're alive and breathing. If you can't think of anything, you're alive and breathing. And God gave you life. He'll deliver you from trials.
Jesus Christ.
David knew that God helped him kill a bear and then a lion. He said, boy, if I can kill a bear and I can kill a lion, he was thankful. You know why? Because then he killed a giant. To get bigger things, you got to have a bigger gratefulness. You want to have bigger victories? Be more grateful. The more grateful you are, the more things, good things will happen in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, for this body of believers called Victory Christian Fellowship. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together in this building and worship you in spirit and in truth. We can encounter your presence. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that your word has created all things.
Say that I am free because of what the Lord has done. He did it all for us.
Now, is there anyone here who is courageous and who is brave and who would say, I don't know Jesus, but I would like to? Is there anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus? You've never asked him to be your Savior. You've never invited him into your heart. You're not sure that you're going to be spending eternity in heaven. Is there anyone who doesn't know? Some brave person that would say, Pastor, I don't know, but I would like to know. Just put your hand up and then put it down.
Because he's given Jesus Christ.
I know it's a stretch. But you know what? I did it. Most of the people here have done something like that. Say this with me. Everybody, just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose again on the third day. I acknowledge that you are the only way to heaven. I can't get to God any other way. Jesus, I need you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I invite you to come into my life and do a great work in me and through me. I give myself to you. I accept your salvation. I receive your love. And from this moment forward, I'm going to learn about you. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to fellowship with other believers. And I'm going to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. And I hope that if you have never meant that before, you meant it today. Amen. The greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of salvation. Thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. Amen. So, I want this Thursday to be different for you. Because I want you to consider the importance of why we're having a day of Thanksgiving. And just consider what God has done for you. Amen? Let me just wait a moment. See if the Lord wants to do anything else. What I want to do is, I want to bless Milton Hershey School. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and praise for the vision that you put in Milton Hershey's heart. And Lord, for the dream that has become a reality, I pray over these students that are here and over every student of that school in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that your will be done in their lives and in Milton Hershey School as it is in heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your presence would fill every place of that campus, every building, every classroom, every home in Jesus' name, every vehicle, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word would have free course in that place. I know that they have chapel services, Father, but Lord, I pray that your power and your presence would go forth and do miracles, signs, and wonders, Father, on that campus in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise, Father. We honor you, Lord, for that precious gift which you have established in this area. And we bless Milton Hershey School in Jesus' name. Bless every teacher and every administrator and every leader, every house parent, in Jesus' name, amen.